Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are. We're now at the very end of April. April the 29th, Monday the 29th, this will be airing. And we are finishing up the month and heading into May. And because we've got our leaders retreat over in France and you got a bunch of stuff coming up, we're trying to get a little bit ahead of it so we can enjoy our time there and come back in June and tape some more. But so we're working a little bit ahead. But we have the privilege of doing that, so it's a really wonderful thing.
It works out nicely, right?
Yeah, it really does. And so we have great fun doing it. And by the way, I shared about the retreat we just did and the reunion we had, and it was, you know, it was a great, wonderful, joyful expression to go around the table. And we encourage people and tell people this, and they were the proof of it. And we say, look, if you spend 20 minutes a day just abiding in the Word and then learning to abide in the vine, remember the Word is a centerpiece of it, but it's not Bible study.
Right.
It's abiding in the relationship. But it starts with the Word because that's where you're going to learn it. So spend, you know, 20, 30 minutes a day in the Word. That you have, you got an invitation at the retreat. God spoke to you, and they all heard it. We gave him verses. Here's where you would start going and use now. You know how to cross-reference. Go do it. And we say if you do it for 30 days, faithfully, and we say don't skip a day, so don't take Sundays off. you know, it's just 20, 30 minutes a day. Bring your journal. Take your journal. Write your stuff down. If you do it faithfully for 30 days, you will hear his voice in such a way, and you'll see things happen. Because remember, it's not mechanically do certain things to just study. It's God is acting. He's speaking. He's doing things to say, do you see what I'm up to? And I'm doing it. And it's a wonderful thing. And I said, if you do it for 30 days, it'll change your life, and then you'll never stop. And when we get a, we had a whole group, and everybody, now they did know each other, so that might help, but everybody did the 30 days faithfully.
Oh, that's awesome.
And all we do when we get together is what God say. And they start sharing this fantastic stuff where they started at the retreat and they just kept processing and processing, and God spoke and God did and God led them, and they gave them freedom and he gave them breakthroughs, and all we're doing, Lynn and I are just listening to the beauty of the truth that God said, if you have a heart to hear, you will hear, and you'll get excited, because it's not about knowledge, it's about experience.
Absolutely.
And both the experience of the joy of it, because there's life to it, and God is encouraging, and God is stimulating, and God is giving, you know, wonderful confidence. And you get to see God at work. And and they all shared that. And they were just, it was such a beautiful reinforcement for Linda and I.
Right.
Of how beautiful is this, you know, and now their life has literally changed. In 30 days, their life is, and they're off on a path now where they start to recognize that when God says he's going to promise me an abundant life, I'm starting to believe it. Mm-hmm. And remember, we're not talking about wealth. We're talking about the abundance of the fullness of God's life.
Right.
It can't abundance of joy and peace.
Some
of them are experiencing good financial things, but it's not the thing. And the one they made a comment because we, you know, and I personally, you know, I'm not necessarily one of the greatest promoters of anything we do, because other than I love people learning to get connected. But Linda kept reminding me, hey, you need to tell people about the podcast.
Oh yeah, okay.
So we did. We tell, hey, we got a podcast. You got to, you know, here it is. Come and see and find truth in a world of chaos. And they came back and said, hey, we listened to your podcast. Wow, this is fantastic. This is helping us so much. And
that's great.
We're trying to tell everybody about this because it's just getting in the Word of God. And and helping us understand what this means, you know, and man, this is great, you know. And so it was very encouraging, you know, to us that that God, you know, just says, just keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, this isn't about you and my opinion of stuff.
No.
You know, we have ideas and we certainly won't share them. Particularly we talk about End Times Friday. There's certain interesting stuff about that. But it's just getting in the Word. Let the Word stand on its own, you know.
And, right.
And so we encourage, you know, if you're listening and it is encouraging you, we pray that, you know, tell the other people about it. Not for the sake of just growing it, because that's not the key to it. It's just that we do want more people to learn to walk with God.
Absolutely.
So that was kind of fun to hear that. So we've been talking about, you know, practical issues. We talked the last couple of times about what if we don't hear Him, and we walk through that. You know, here's some things to get back to the place of hearing His voice, which He says, I'm speaking, so come on back. This next one is gets a little bit tricky, because it's how do we communicate to others? How do we receive communication from others? And particularly when I've got friends at the moment that are kind of skeptical about this thought about hearing God's voice. You know, and what do we do with that, and how do we process that? And by the way, that would be almost everybody. That certainly happened to Linda and I when we first learned it, is that people around us were pretty skeptical.
Right.
Is that
depending on the tradition you've grown up in church?
Yeah. It's like, you know, that's so you're telling me you're off into this hokey stuff, you know, and this strange stuff, and you know, are you falling over? And you know, no, it's. You know, I've learned how beautiful this is, and I would encourage you to at least give it a try, you know. And
right.
So let's deal with that a little bit. So first of all, this is an important truth that is critical as you're hearing God's voice. So let's go to 2 Peter 1:16-21. 2 Peter 1:16-21.
Sure. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So, you know, since remember that God's speaking is... You know, and the word prophecy here is important. It's because we tend to think prophecy is just telling the future. But the word prophetic is the truth itself is prophetic, speaking the truth or relating the truth. And it can be things to come, but it's primarily just, you know, speaking the truth. And he says, the truth that was written through people being inspired to write it wasn't privately done. He said more it's done by the opening it up to others, because it's not a private interpretation. It's supposed to be a multi-person interpretation. So that as you're hearing God's voice, and I've seen this, and I've had even people around me that have drifted into this, but if they've tried to do it themselves alone, it's easy to start getting distorted. I heard, you know, because I'm now starting to go back to confusing my voice with God's voice.
Right.
And I'm attributing God to saying certain things, and I've ignored any thought that maybe it's not true, particularly when it's obviously not true because it's contrary to Scripture.
Right.
And a lot of people start getting into this place of God said, but wait a minute, that's not anything close to what he said, because that's not what the Scriptures say.
Right.
You know, it's the opposite of it. He said, when you are practicing this, he said, there's two things. One, open it up to public interpretation. And the public interpretation is others, by the way, that have a heart to process it with you. And we're going to talk about the two different types, because you could offer up a public interpretation and then get a very skeptical response to it.
Right.
And now you're struggling with that. So if you're hearing God's voice, it's to open it up to those around you that have a heart to process it with you, to see, is this from God, and is it clear to me from God, and do I understand it? But I have to have a heart of people around me that want to process that. And but I should never be afraid to invite them into that process.
Right.
So that, like, when Linda and I are doing it, we first of all invite each other, for sure. Hey, I think God said, okay, well, let's process that together. Is it true? What are you saying? Hey, Father, are you saying this? Is this clear? And we're dialoguing on it. And we never worry that, no, you didn't quite get that right.
Right.
Because I said, I think I hear, and what we've done is we've changed our language a little bit. Instead of saying God said, we say, I'm hearing this, I'm thinking God's saying, but I want to open it up to you to help me process it further. And that way, I don't look like, well, if you said God said, then how come you're not right?
Right.
And by the way, it's really usually, as you're hearing some of it, it's just not all clear to you yet, and you got to process it. So I think what I hear God saying, and we open it up to each other, then, and it's not everything, but there are things that we will then bring into our inner circle, and we'll say, well, I hear God saying this. Could you please process it with me to confirm it? I want your confirmation. Okay. Now think about this. You're going to invite others into the process. Why would I never be afraid of that? Now, by the way, there is a condition to that. And I said it, I want to say it again. The condition is that the people that I'm opening it up to have a heart to hear God and help me hear God.
Right.
If they're, and we'll see in a minute the verse about if they're skeptical, you really can't have them in the room.
Right.
So that's not, it's a condition. But why would I never be afraid of that?
Because of the unity of the Holy Spirit, truly. The Holy Spirit that lives in me is no different than the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Therefore, he's not going to tell us two different things.
Right.
We say this all the time. But there's such confirmation in being able to do that. You know, I think I shared, you know, we just had some friends over the other day who were working through some job things, and were seeking God on it, and wanted to come and just share the things that God was showing them and have us pray with them and confirm that, you know, what they were hearing as well. And that's a beautiful gift. Yeah. And a freedom that we have, that God will give us that confirmation, and then we can step in confidence regardless of circumstance, right?
Yeah. And then and if you look at it, what is it that I want? I want to know
God's will.
I want to know God's will. So why would I ever be afraid of that? See, right. If I'm not quite there, I want to know that I'm not quite there.
Right.
Because right. No, you're not. It's not clear yet, or there's a timing thing to it, or you, there's a few more steps to it, or mm-hmm. hey, take this next step. See, from my perspective, well, why wouldn't I want to do that?
Right.
Because I don't need to be, you know, like, well, I get it right all the time. No, don't worry about that. I just want to get it right.
Right. And in fact, let's back that up for just a second. That very phrase you said, I don't need to be, well, I get it right all the time. When you start finding yourself in that, check that right away, because that's pride.
Yes.
You're putting more emphasis on the fact that you hear than that he speaks. And the big deal is that God speaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And that's why when I'm helping others, it's, you know, let me truly seek the Lord. Let me see what feedback you have. I even tell them, don't look to me
right.
to tell you, but I'll help confirm it, and we'll just keep processing it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if it's true, don't worry, he'll let you know.
Yeah.
And I'll say, what is God saying to you? And you got to mm-hmm. go make sure that's being confirmed for you. Don't say, well, Rich, why don't you just tell me the answer?
Right.
And I say, well, sometimes I actually know the answer. I said, I'm not telling you. I'll walk with you because I know something. God wants you to learn what it means to hear his voice, process, get confirmation. And it's that important so you can live that life the rest of your life, you know. And so let's go there. So it's having people around you and opening it up, not to private interpretation, but what I call public interpretation. Mm-hmm. Let us process this. And he said there's a beauty to that and a strength to that and a confirmation to that. Never be afraid. And he actually says, and Lynn and I practice this, do not drift into private interpretation. Because you'll learn how beautiful the community is, one, and then you don't even worry about it. You see, right. It's not like, is it mine? Is it not? Is it just, I just want to get the answer.
Right. And I'm even drawn back to in Psalms 133, I think it is, where it says, you know, how good and pleasant it is where brethren dwell together in unity. And that word for pleasant actually is the same word that is used for harmony.
Yeah.
And so I love to point this out in retreats. When you think about harmony, if somebody is singing a melody, it is beautiful. And it will capture your heart and everything else. But when somebody comes over top of it and adds in the harmony, or then maybe a third part even comes in, and it becomes so much more full and so much more of what it was originally meant to be than ever before, that is the picture of coming together with other believers. A lot of times I may come in and share something God is telling me, and that's the melody line. And then Dan is hearing something, you know, along the same lines, but it's a little bit different or a little fuller, or adds, and so that adds a harmony. And then, you know, Kendra comes in and she adds a whole nother layer to it. And before we know it, we have this full, beautiful picture that is so much more than my one little line that I heard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I was listening to a Beatles discussion and some music, and the guy leading it was talking about harmony. Mm-hmm. And he said the Beatles learned harmony, and they recognized early that if they could move into harmony, their music was richer, fuller, and was more beautiful. And they said they studied how do we get better at that, you know? And mm-hmm. so they did a little bit of a study to say, okay, who's really good at this? Mm-hmm. And they discovered that the best harmonious people that they ever could hear were the Everly Brothers.
Really? Oh, isn't that fun?
And then they went and processed
they were good.
They went and processed that and figured out, okay, what are they doing mm-hmm. that is so exceptional to bring about harmony, you know? And they got better and better and better at it, and they gave examples of it, you know? And so
that's so fun.
How good and harmonious when you walk in harmony, and by definition, and the guy made a comment, he says, solo artists can't be in harmony.
Right, right.
He says, you got to have two, at least, you know? And so it's pleasant when God says, get into harmony mm-hmm. with others and never drift into solo act as right. you're hearing my voice and as you're processing, offering up to public interpretation. Okay, then he does say this about the people around us. So go to Luke 8, 49 to 56. Luke 8, sure. 49 to 56.
It says, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid. Only believe that she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened.
Right. Which, by the way, they told everybody.
Yep.
See, Jesus speaks what the Father said. Mm-hmm. So he's going into the situation, and they've already witnessed her losing her breath.
Right.
So she's dead. And they just said, don't bother.
Right.
You need to bother. She's dead. That's it. It's over with. You're late. You're too late. Jesus says, no, that's not right. She's not dead. She's going to live. Don't worry. He speaks it. Now, why does he speak it? Well, that's what the Father said to him.
Right.
See, it wasn't like, well, I have a good idea here, or I really mm-hmm. hope that it works. The Father said, nope, we'll resurrect her. Don't worry.
Right.
And you can tell him that. He mm-hmm. does. He speaks what God says. How? Because he heard God speak it. It hadn't happened yet, but he spoke it. And the reaction of the people was what?
Disbelief. Yeah. In fact, ridicule even.
Yeah, you're crazy. No, it's absurd what you're saying. Mm-hmm. No, that's, you know, you're wasting your time here. You're giving us false hope, and I don't like it, and blah blah blah, and you're wrong, and you're awful what you're doing, and because the word ridicule is I'm attacking you,
right,
for what you're saying. And so Jesus said, okay, what do you do? Got him out of the room.
He put him out of the room.
Okay, well then you're out.
And just
kept
those who were believing. Yeah,
you're out because. I don't need to convince you.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, my heart, God says, Jesus was saying, is to process what God is saying. And I want people with me who have a heart to learn this and have a heart to
right.
pray. Now, the father and mother, see, they didn't know much about this,
mm-hmm.
but they had a heart to learn it. See the difference?
Right.
It's not like you have to be perfect at this or that, oh, yeah, I got it. No, you don't. It's just, you know what? If you're saying you're hearing from God, let me walk with you. And even if it's
learning. I want to see how this works.
And
seeing
if it's me and help me, I'll help you confirm it. And but I'm not approaching it with there's no way this is going to happen. Or you can't hear from God. And don't tell me that. And you're a fool. You're an idiot. You're you think you're super spiritual and you're not. And what Jesus says is get them out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, don't waste your time with those because it's a battle of actually preventing you from moving forward.
Yeah.
Into the processing of what God has to say. So he said, okay, James and John and Peter, you come. Your parents, you come. You have a heart to come. The rest of you are out.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you offer it publicly, it has to be to people that have a heart to process with you.
Right.
And
right.
don't waste your time with those that are skeptical. And by the way, you don't need to condemn them. You just need to say, I'm not going to spend any time with you, and I'm certainly not going to bring you into my process. See, that's what he said. You can't
right.
come into this room and process with me. You got to stay out there.
Right.
I'm not condemning you. I'm not rejecting you, but I'm not allowing you in. So it's really a lesson of it's okay if people are skeptical, but just don't engage them and say, okay, that's fine. You don't need to be part of this. That's okay.
That's just not who you want in the room with you for that. Right.
That, well, then I'll process with other people. Now, by the way, interesting enough, what would the people outside find out?
They still got to bear witness to it, right?
It was true. And it's like, oh, man, look at that. Mm-hmm. That was true. And see, that's what will happen.
Right.
Is the people that are skeptical, if they're around you, they can't help but start to see, you know what? He said this and it happened.
Right.
He said this and it happened, and God said it. And I saw it. I experienced it. Huh. Is that really possible? See, you see, it can shift. Absolutely. But at the moment, is don't fret. If you've got a bunch of skeptical people around you, just don't fight them. Don't debate them. Don't try to let them stay engaged with you, because you're wasting your energy while you're trying to learn to hear and walk into God's will. And so it's really important on both sides of it. In other words, don't be afraid to have others join you. And matter of fact, it's actually encouraged. Don't let it be private. At the same time, the people around you, you want to have a heart to follow and learn to follow God's voice and hear God's voice and confirm God's voice.
Right.
And if they're super skeptical, get them out of the room. And it's okay. But follow that truth.
So
it's just, it's such an amazing, important thing to learn. And that's why we encourage you to, if you don't have a small group, would be actually to invite people to say, would you like to learn this with me? And there'll be people that will. Well, let them learn it, and you'll do it together. You know, and
right. And I'll say again, you know, we haven't brought this up in a little while, but if you have a group of, if you don't have that small group of people or people that understand what we're talking about, go to the online courses. Go to the website, abideministries.com, and pull out the online course for abiding and take your small group through it.
Yep.
And just let them go ahead and learn, you know, in a nutshell, all of this and begin practicing it together.
Yep.
You know, that's a great resource. Build that group, build that community.
Yep. And you can always, again, if you need some assistance, even in personal things, you can send it in at questions@abideministry.com and let us be able to assist you, which we have lots of people on our teams, and we'd be happy to communicate with you and help you get engaged if you need some assistance. So in other words, don't do this alone. We're here to help you. And I love your idea, Kathy, is that just get a group together and go through it, and you'll see people that will say, huh, because the word stands on its own. See, we're not trying to persuade anybody, but it's true. So,
yeah.
Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for who you are and what you're doing, and the fact that you tell us not to let it be private interpretation, but at the same time to make sure that skepticism is out of the room and we have people that have a heart to hear. And so we pray for that. We ask for that. And in the name of Jesus, may we experience it. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich, and thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions, again, like Rich said, send them in, questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.